WDRBY, Roland Derby Radio, is proud to present Q-Tips with Electrocution, legendary player for the Carolina Roller Girls. Send your questions in right now to electrocution at carolinarollergirls.com. That's ELEKTRACUTION at carolinarollergirls.com. And now, get ready for Electrocution, only on WDRBY, Roller Derby Radio.
And welcome back to another Wednesday. I took a week off because, you know, I needed a little break from life and derby in general. We were on our derby break. And you're alive with Q's Tips. I'm Electrocution from the Carolina Roller Girls. You can reach me at electrocution at carolinarollergirls.com. Or you can find me on Facebook under Renee Q McHugh because Facebook stole my name. Still hasn't given it back. Looks like they won't be giving it back before I retire, which really sucks. But, you know, I guess they're just helping me along my path. Tonight, I've got two awesome ladies from the Big Easy Roller Girls. You guys want to introduce yourselves and tell me a little bit about yourselves? So first, we'll go with Nura, because Nura used to be a former Carolina Roller Girl.
Yes, ma'am. This is Neuralize Her, otherwise known as Katie Grabener in my real life.
Who has a real life?
Yeah, no one. No one has a real life. So, yes, I'm from Big Easy Roller Girls, and I was with Carolina at one point a couple years ago. And I've been skating for 6 years.
Right. So you're down in the Big Easy, hanging out, doing... What's the best thing about having moved from a straight-laced community as Raleigh is to New Orleans?
The thing is, like, living in New Orleans is, at any given point of the day, you see people walking around in costumes and dressed up, and it's totally normal. I mean, you don't even look at these people. It's not even a second glance. You might, if it's something original, you might stop and comment and, you know, compliment them. And it's pretty much like people that don't fit in anywhere go there to live. Like, seriously, people that feel like they don't fit anywhere else, they fit in there in New Orleans. And it's that kind of unique culture. And it's really, it's a very, very different place to live, but it's really exciting. There's always something going on.
That's really awesome. I kind of need to go down there because I love costumes. So.
Yes.
All right, and we have...
Hi, I'm Porkchop Slamwich, otherwise known as Chop. In my real life, I guess, Maloron Hodge, originally from Bun, North Carolina.
That's right, another North Carolina girl. And how long have you been skating and everything?
This is my fourth season with Big Easy. Mm-hmm. So,
did you skate before?
I could fall really well before. I always give myself like three, so I would get out there and fall three times, and then I could, you know, slowly move around the track. But no, not really. But so, I ran track for a lot of years.
And
so.
you're a personal trainer, right?
No, I wish I was.
I thought you were.
Do I look like it?
Yeah, you do.
Ow.
You're fit. So anyway, I mean, she is fit. Let's just face it.
Yeah, you see my guns. The gun show.
What got you interested in roller derby? I know what brought Nura to the sport, but what got you interested?
Yeah, so I worked at a school, and one of the teachers, shout out to like Punch-A-Tram, because she's the reason I got into this. But she said, I play this cool sport, and I couldn't skate before, and now I'm on the All-Stars team. And I was like, wait, I ran track, and I think I can do this. So she was like, come to a game, and if you like it, you should try out. So I went to the game, and I fell in love, and I was like, I'm going to try out. They might feel bad for me and make me like the manager. Like, I can be like the ball girl or something. And I tried out. I was the worst in my class, but I stuck with it.
Yeah.
And here I am, 4 years later.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
Yeah.
It becomes an addiction. It really does. Like, I really... When I recruit people, I used to just recruit people, like, hey, this is awesome, you should do it.
Yeah.
And now I kind of like, so how much free time do you have? You know, like, do you have any other hobbies? Because you know what, you won't after you hit roller derby for a while.
Do you have four nights a week available to get hit and sweat a lot?
And practice, and then fill in all this, like, you know, emails, which we were talking about, not wanting to answer emails and all this other stuff. Do you have time for that? Then yes, you should play this awesome sport.
Right.
Yeah, I try to like sell it as honestly as possible now. I used to before like be like, you'll be fine, you'll fall in love with it just like I did, and you'll just give up everything for it. And now I'm like, I have to be very careful, because you know, you can persuade people to come in, and it can be a really heartbreaking experience. You know, one way or another, you got, you know, injury, or you know, they get in it and they're like, oh my god, there's just too much.
Yeah.
But now I'm infected with the skating bug. Now what do I do with myself? You know, so it's like, I don't want to infect them with a skating bug if they're not going to stick around.
Right.
I feel bad. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting and cool, and mm-hmm. I'm glad you guys are on the show. So one thing that the Big Easy did that I wish we could get a hold of a local celebrity like you guys did. So Big Frida.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Big Frida is, you need to look Big Frida up.
Girl down. Dangerous.
Yeah. And she came in, she filmed a video at one of your games, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you want to talk a little bit about that experience? I posted the video on my page if you're interested. It's really great. I've watched it like 10 times, you know, over the last couple of years, you know, a year, I guess, or it's because I knew there's Derby Girls in it. I'm like, I've seen her really fast, you know. So you want to talk about that experience a little bit?
Yeah.
How did it happen?
Yeah. So I wasn't involved in how it happened. Mm-hmm. Our previous captain, Harmony, I think her and Tangles kind of set it up, mm-hmm. I believe. And so, you know, she's always been kind of our muse. She's been the Big Easy Roller Girls muse for a while, and she knew about it, and so they came over to do the shoot, and it was pretty amazing. It was definitely our best sold out bout for the past several years. I mean, it was packed.
Yes.
So, and it was kind of wild to have them back in our, you know, in our locker room doing their dancing and everything while we're trying to get ready and talk about strategy, and they're back there playing the video, and there's Big Frida with her dancers, and we're like, okay.
You're trying not to be distracted.
Because we used to listen to Excuse all the time, and then we went to D2's.
Yeah.
She, like, sent us a message, and we were, like, screaming. So to have all this set up, you know, shout out to Harmony, because it was when she told us that we were going to be in the video, we were like, nah, stop playing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we were like, didn't believe it.
And then, like, the camera showed up, and it was real. Yeah. It was real.
Well, it looked like it was a lot of fun.
Oh,
like I was having a lot of fun. And I think it was funny because you got her on skates, right?
Yeah.
Were you nervous about that?
I don't think we were nervous. But I think she was nervous. She was like, I'm going to break my neck. I'm like, no, it's going to be great. Yeah. I'll be right here.
Yeah. I mean, I would be nervous just for like, oh, please don't fall.
Yeah.
And get broken. I don't want to be the one that broke Big
Frida.
Yes.
Yeah. So you got to twerk off a little bit on the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
A little twerk rodeo going.
A little twerkness. Yeah. I even got a hug from Big Frida.
Yeah.
So, like, at the end, she was waving, and I was like, oh, let me go in for the hug right now. So, like, some of the footage that was cut out, you can see me, like, going in for the hug.
Oh,
it was great.
Awesome.
Extra sweaty chop, like, hugging Big Frida. It was great. I made Big Frida's night. I know it.
Yeah. You were like, I'm rubbing my awesome off on you.
Yeah. You feel this, Big Frida?
Yes.
I just think it's amazing. I really wish we could do something. And I think if you can, you know, as a team, it really helps to pull in, mm-hmm. you know, the creatives in the community around you to do mm-hmm. stuff like that. Now, we've had bands, you know, play or, you know, do our halftime show. And sometimes they're really big hits. And sometimes it's a little, you know, you're like, oh, nobody likes it. It's all right. It's a little loud. It's okay. Like, oh, you only have one instrument and the rest of it's like trash cans. It's fine. It's fine. So I think it's a really great idea. I really wish we could pull more local people in, and I think it's great that you guys pulled it off. And I'm sure if anybody has any questions, they can hit you up on Facebook or hit me up on Facebook, and I'll forward them to you guys.
Yeah.
Sure. Is there anything? Now, here's always one thing that I ask my guests at one point or another, especially because I have a lot of repeat guests. But what is on your derby list that you want to hit before you retire? Because, you know, retirement comes to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
What is on your derby list? Of bucket list, I'd say.
RollerCon, and I'm going to that this year.
Woo-hoo. That's amazing. So,
holler at your girl if you see me there.
And
that's me.
Have you got any bouts signed up for? Are you doing any of that?
There, I just signed up for one because I got in kind of late, like a Game of Thrones one.
Uh-huh.
And then the rest, I'm just going to wear some tank tops and just be ready. Put me in, coach. I'm ready.
You will.
Yeah, and I mean, I wonder if they're doing the side eye versus the...
Yes, I got in too late for that one.
Oh, that's that's an amazing...
But I'm going to show up. I got my side eye tank top.
Yeah,
and I'm going to show up. I'm going to miss the family pic because I'll leave on Saturday, but I'm still going to be around.
So you weren't going to RollerCon, you're doing that. So what's going to be your next thing on your bucket list, since you're already hitting one of those and you're still fairly new in your derby career?
At some point, I want to try out for Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
Try out with the potential, like, possibly, like, make it. So that will be a couple years from now, but I want to start really ramping up and working hard so I can get on that.
That's a good one. Nora?
So I guess for me... you know, I've been going for 6 years now. And I always like to see myself progressing and seeing how I would be if I ever skated at an elite level. So I always try to put myself in the situations when I go to something like DerbyCon, and mm-hmm. I got to skate in the All-Star Game, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really learned a lot in the game, like actually playing with these skaters that are, you know, at that elite level, and you realize just how good they are actually when you're playing with them.
Yeah, you were on the track with Scald Eagle and Baller Shot Caller.
And Baller and Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
So
it probably would have cried if I were you.
I just about did. I was just holding it in.
Did you pee yourself a little bit?
I was kind of like, okay. And then Scald's like, you want a jam? And I was like, sure. And she was like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm glad you're excited.
I heard she's super
so
nice.
She is.
So she was, I think, a little sister to one of our former skaters, Maura Manipulator, and she said she was super sweet. And
yeah.
And Maura was there at ECDX in 2012 when Scald broke her leg, and I thought Maura was going to just, you know, fall to pieces, because she was like, that's my little sister out there, you know?
Yeah.
So it was really nice, you know, to see that love, and I've heard that she's super awesome to be around. That's great.
But I think other thing I like, working with Big Easy and seeing the improvement.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, we've had a rebuilding year, and it's really exciting to see people getting better and getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would be excited to see us really click and come together and come back up the rankings. And I think it will happen.
Yeah, done it with Carolina, it takes a long time, but I think if you just keep plugging at it, you're just going to have, you know, it'll happen.
Yeah.
You just have to keep doing it. But you got to get a majority of the league or a majority of your team on the same page.
Yeah. It's been amazing to see with such a new team this year to mm-hmm. see us like come together.
Yeah.
And it's really been like that second half where we just like bam and everything's like clicks and we're going out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really been amazing because every game has gotten better.
Right.
Every game has improved.
That's cool.
It's been great to watch that over the season.
That's very cool. All right, we have a lot of questions.
Yeah,
yes, we do.
Chrissy Davis is, you know, Krispy Kreme. She used to be a Ring City girl, and you used to skate with them or like at least coach them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she has a bunch of questions, mostly about humidity
because
you know, both
yummy.
Are, you know, NC is known for humidity. I'm sure the Big Easy, you guys have us beat, you know, exponentially, but it's, you know, it's a problem. And since a lot of leagues are dealing with like non-ideal spaces to skate in,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's talk about it. So Christy asks, NC humidity versus Big Easy humidity, which is worse? Is there such a thing? I apologize for the stormy messy muck we have going up on here at the moment. You know, Nura's been up here for a week, and so it's been storming the whole time. Does it affect practice plans back home like it does for some teams up here? And what do you
yes.
do?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Well, this question. So, yes, Big Easy humidity in New Orleans is like nothing I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to get used to it.
So it's like a conditioning process.
It really mm-hmm. is. And it's extremely oppressive. There's no cool. Like last night when there was the storm came in and there's cool, that doesn't happen there. It's just the rain just brings more oppressiveness
more
humidness.
Yeah.
And there is issues, you know, especially with the new girls coming into the warehouse with mm-hmm. them being acclimatized. If you're not eating enough, if you're not drinking enough water, if you don't have electrolytes, it's a real problem. It's not like, it's not like, oh, you might feel a little dizzy. It's like, no, you'll probably need to sit out the entire practice.
Yeah,
or
you're sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And you were the one that gave me the idea of putting dry sheets in the freezer to cool people off, and I thought that was brilliant. We have them at the warehouse of the chop shop because I really don't want anyone having those problems, and we're going to be getting into our hottest part of the season mm-hmm. right now, so it's a little scary.
Yeah. We also have, like, we always have two safety people that are there,
mm-hmm.
and we have a safety station and hydration station. So mm-hmm. we're always like, okay, these are our safety people for tonight. If you're feeling kind of woozy, you know where to go. But just kind of being on top of that. But we tell, like, the new skaters all the way up, like, okay, July is going to be really hot. Let's prep for this. And we post all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, a lot of, like, trying to prepare them. And then once they kind of get hit with that wave once, then they kind of adjust to an extent. But it's a lot of, like, prepping. Even, like, I feel like I've been there for a while, and I still sometime kind of oh, I didn't eat enough today.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you have all those problems. And, you know, in North Carolina at least, even even at its worst, we tend to be able to get some of that sweat off of us so it cools you. Mm-hmm. But we were, Nora and I were talking where you get so sweaty that's like sweat got on top of sweat.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it insulates you and it makes you even hotter. And I think that that's what you guys probably have to deal with on a, you know, regular basis.
Yeah.
Constantly. I couldn't do it. Can't. I'm a sissy when it comes to me. I don't like it. I mean, I like cold less, but the heat, it's just when it's so hot and I can't cool off.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to move.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing it definitely does do is it brings people's focus in because they don't want to talk as much. Mm-hmm. So,
there is a bonus to it because
people are just like focused and there's not a lot of talking and chattering because it's, you know, people just, when it gets that hot, they just don't really want to do more than they have to. So,
Do you guys ever have to cancel practice because it's hot or the heat, you know, or there's a heat, advisory or whatever? Do you ever have to do that?
I think it was like once last season and maybe once, I think, in my fourth season. But it's only when, like, the heat index is, like, way up and the humidity is, like, out of this world. But for the most part, we just kind of put warnings out there. Mm-hmm. And we just tell the trainer to be aware of, like, the endurance that you're running and the drills that you're running. And, like, taking more breaks and also encouraging people. Because sometimes, you know, like, you'll say, okay, we're going to get water right now. But you may not tell people otherwise. So just being on top of that and letting the trainers know. But for the most part, there haven't been a lot of cancellations.
That's good.
Yeah.
Does it actually, like, you know, like last night we had leaks, you know, and because the rain was coming down so hard. And we've had floods, like, where it's actually, like, sheetings of rain would come in and just flood underneath. Mm-hmm. And we're, like, unskatable or our floor isn't sealed. And so, like, the humidity change will sometimes it fuck it up to the point where you can't... it sweats, and you can't skate, because it's like ice, you know? Mm-hmm. So do you guys have those issues?
Yeah, and our swamp of sadness. Yeah. It gets very, like, moist, and it starts to seep through.
Yes.
And we try to, like, wipe it down, but sometimes it just keeps on seeping. But we've only canceled practice once this season because of that.
Yeah, it's, like, something to do with the dew point. Like, if it's really cold, and all of a sudden it gets drops or something.
That's what kills us here. Yeah. It'll be, like, dry and cold, and then it, like, boom, it'll come up and heat, it'll be, like, a little bit more moisture in the air, and it just kills us. And that's usually... For us, it's in the spring. We have to watch that stuff in the spring and fall because that's when that stuff happens. But the summer is generally not that, unless it's just leaking, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see more and more leagues dealing with non-ideal skate spaces. Mm-hmm. And so I know a lot of leagues are skating outside as much as they possibly can. You know, you don't have to pay, or, you know, you can pay minimal. There's a skate park right next to where we used to skate. That's only, you can hire it for like $25 an hour for the hockey, you know, deck, and you can skate outside. So, I mean, that's a thought. I know that Kill Devil Derby Brigade skates outside and they skate with no cover, and you wear a lot of sunscreen and you got the sunglasses. I mean, it is bright. Mm-hmm. It's not even funny, you know? So you got to do what you got to do. All right, Chrissy Davis writes, again, what are your personal ways of beating the practice got canceled blues with indoor no gym needed types of things to do, like stretch or keep moving or motivated when you just can't go out? So maybe you can't go outside because of whatever, or maybe your practice was canceled. Maybe you just can't make it. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? What do you guys do to stay motivated?
I mean, recently we just went to our teammate Kat's house and watched footage of our last game against the Hustlers, which was really awesome. And since we're in New Orleans and we're close to downtown, we can just go out and we have food or whatever, hang out together. Mm-hmm. So we haven't had too much of that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's one of those situations where, like, we can't make practice, I like to do the Nike Plus app and pull up a different, like, training thing depending on what I'm thinking, some core work, and just kind of run through that. Or if I, like, know that I really hate burpees, so I'm like, I'm gonna do 25 burpees tonight and just like kind of work on that, kind of building up that endurance.
Yeah, I hate burpees too.
I hate them. But I know I need to do more of them.
The Charlotte Roller Girls are coming up with a really great fundraiser, and I told our team we need to do it just because everybody hates burpees. Mm-hmm. Is that they, for every burpee you do, they will pay you a dollar, you know? So, and I was just thinking, God, right?
Wow.
That I would be earning those dollars because I freaking hate burpees.
Give me the dollar! Yeah. Just one!
Yeah. I got one. But what I tend to do is if I can't go to practice, I do work out. I don't sleep well if I don't work out that day, probably. You know, I have to walk the dogs. I walk the dogs a lot, even if it's horrible out. You know, they need to walk. They hate it, but they're like, we want exercise, you know. And I do exercise a lot. I'll watch footage.
Yeah.
Or I'll, you know, if I'm really bummed out because practice got canceled or something, I'll put on Roll Bounce. which is a great movie if you just like to watch roller skating. I love watching the roller skating and roll bounce, or Xanadu, which is another silly roller skating music. You know, so, I mean, but you gotta make yourself happy. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I love skating, regardless of derby or not. I love skating. I love how it makes me feel. So when I see other people enjoying it, it makes me happy.
Yeah.
And for shits and giggles, sometimes I put on a really old game so you can see, like, old derby versus new derby, and it's like night and day, and it's really fun to watch. All right. Christy Davis has also another question. Skating in the Big Easy versus North Carolina, is there a notable difference in skating styles, training, and what refs are concentrating on? And Corey Dot Bombers, she's one of my teammates, writes, to add on to that, Nura, you skated on the West Coast, East-ish Coast, and now the South. What is your take on regional differences in style, and what did you acclimate to? How did you acclimate to the differences?
Okay. So there's a lot of questions in here.
Hey, Dot.
There's like 50.
Hey, Dot. Yeah. Hey, Christy.
So yeah, there's definitely differences. I don't know if it's really a regional thing or if it's so much just a different team thing. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, you know, our coach is very different than Paul.
Well, that's a coach, evidently, you know.
Right. So, but I think the coaching and the captaining are two very, very different, for sure, going from North Carolina to Big Easy. But I don't necessarily think that has anything to do with regions. I think that there's a lot of... Let's see, we do a lot of off-skates, and because of the weather and stuff in the Big Easy, and because of where we're situated downtown, there's a lot more... I think events that we're participating in, just like skating and parades and stuff, like that's a huge deal down there because we make a little bit of money when we get to skate in the parades.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's a lot bigger down there. The big difference too with Big Easy is that people don't realize living there, you really are hampered by the Mardi Gras schedule. Like, so while everybody else is starting their bouting season in February, we can't have any bouts like that month of like that for the couple of weeks between February because
there'd be no place for people to stay
and the parades are going on. Like, I didn't know this before I went down there, but Mardi Gras isn't just one day. I don't know if anybody else didn't know this, but I didn't know this. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like an all month thing. And so we can't have like bouts, and a lot of practices get canceled. So our season is run a little bit different because of that, and during the Mardi Gras, we just really focus on the parades and kind of bring in, you know, basically marketing and stuff during that time. So our season really has to be planned around that, so that's one thing. And then also, we usually kind of take a break when everybody else is going to playoffs and stuff. We take a break right at the hottest time of the year. Yeah. We found, like, last year that just really helps morale and stuff, and it keeps people like more motivated to come back in the fall when it's not
miserable.
So hot. Yeah. So that's probably what I would say is like probably the biggest differences. A lot of the stuff, actually, when I went to your practice last night, we're working on a lot of similar stuff. Like, it might be a different kind of drill, but there are a lot of similar things that we are working on. What I do to acclimate, I just needed to understand, like,
culture.
The fact that that Mardi Gras is more than one day.
That's a big thing.
It really is. And I didn't have any costumes, and I was like, I don't understand why I don't need to get costumes. And I had to, like, get into the costume mindset. And everybody was like, come on, Nura. Yeah. Get with it, Nura.
You can tell
they were like, Nura. And I'd come up with, like, this, like, you know, not very cool costume. And they'd be like, well.
I mean, your gold hot pants are
the gold
pretty,
hot pants.
They're off the hook.
Yeah, they were. But I
shout
can't
out
really,
to those gold hot pants.
I can't twerk. I still can't really twerk.
No, I can't either.
And it's sad for Big Easy. They kind of just leave me in the back. No. They're like, you can just stay over here and let the real New Orleans chicks twerk. But I mean, no, it's so really that's kind of it. It's just a lot time in your space, a lot to do in that small space, and just
do you see a lot of differences in the refs? I know you've been up here too. So have you seen like things that we're worried about you guys don't necessarily worry about, or do you feel it's universal?
I don't know, because you guys, I didn't get to go to the Michigan travel, and so I know they had some issues up
there's
there.
There's some differences.
I think it's different.
I feel like going up to Michigan was a different game.
Yeah.
It was a weird, like, all the teams kind of had very similar play, except for Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, we played three Michigan area teams like that. So we played Kalamazoo, we played Grand Raggedy, and we played...
Lansing?
No. We played them last year, and they were very similar. All those teams were very similar. And then we played Brew City. And they all had this like same feel, mm-hmm. like it was faster derby and yeah. bigger hits.
Yes,
and I hits. Thought it was really interesting because it's a little different than ours. I mean, yeah. we were ready for it because we had played up there earlier, mm-hmm. you know. But it was still like, huh, oh yeah,
yeah.
It's like this weird melding between old school and new school derby, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think that was like the thing for us because we were like, whoa, these hits are massive. Yeah. And we're more like, let's be strategic and yeah, how do
exactly.
we do this?
Yeah.
And
so
like,
yeah. Yeah.
So trying to figure out like, okay, here's a big swooping hit. So by like the third game, we were like, okay, we get it a little more. But that first one, it was like, hello,
yeah.
me, knock your lights off.
Well, and you know, funny because, you know, I've been in derby for 8 years. So that those big swoopy hits mm-hmm. and those like, you know, them coming at you kind of things, that's normal to me. Like I'm always looking for that.
Yeah.
And it was really funny because we had to train our new jammers. Don't get blindsided. And they're mm-hmm. like, what do you mean? And we're like, so we actually did drills at practice where, you know, one of us would come in and swoop, like an old school person would swoop.
Like
and they
that.
Would they were like, oh, crap, you know, like, this sucks. you know, we're like, so look for it. You know, it's telegraphed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you weren't looking for it and you weren't familiar with old school derby, this was a big surprise,
yeah.
you know. So, I mean, I think we prepared people well for that. And it was a good idea.
I think that's really good to, like, know what you're going up against mm-hmm. and kind of prepare for that.
Yeah. Gotta watch that footage, man.
Yeah.
If you can get a hold of footage, it's mm-hmm. the best thing in the world
right.
you can do.
Yeah.
And our coach watches footage nonstop, so.
All right.
All right, next question. Doug Eddy says, how do you clean the track and how often and with what? They're like, clean the track.
So, I know we power wash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Port. Woo!
Woo!
I don't know what Port puts down, but I know we, like, power wash. We usually do a big clean. I think it's the beginning and then
the
mid, May, and
yeah.
then the end of the season. And that's where everybody, like, has to be there.
Yeah.
And one person's, like, working the power wash and the rest of us are, like, scrubbing. But now we have something new this season is, like, ever so often, people can sign up to sweep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The warehouse where before, like, we only swept when there was a big clean.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can sweep maybe, is it once a month or so?
It's like twice a month.
Yeah.
We sweep and, like, just clean up and mm-hmm. put things back and
try to replace the tape mm-hmm. that comes up.
And look at all the mm-hmm. stuff that might be chipping out of the concrete,
yeah, yeah.
you know, ceiling and stuff like that.
We do that too. We usually, there is a person that can clean the whole shop once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So they can sweep. Clean the bathrooms, take the garbage out, you know, just make sure everything's okay,
yeah.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they've just done a really big clean last week or during our derby break, so there are a bunch of them got together and cleaned up. And I'm like, I don't envy y'all, because when we first opened the shop 2 years ago, almost today, I was one of the people out there, like, scrubbing and sweeping and vacuuming and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff, and I was just like, I don't think I have it in me. to do that again, it's been a long time, so, I mean, power, you know, shout out to our Ginger Clobbers for organizing that, because
yeah.
she did a great job. It looks so much better. And you guys have a cement floor, right? Concrete?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With a stage.
Yeah.
With a
little
bit of a lump.
Oh.
We have a lump in the corner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Don't do your, like, standing on one foot thing for the WFTD. Then we tell people, like, especially newer skaters, when they have to go through their minimum assessments,
mm-hmm.
we're like, don't stand here because you will roll because this part of the floor has got a
yes.
slant to it. And, you know, you're like, or there's a big chip over
mm-hmm.
there. Just, you know, just be careful.
Yeah. I usually like to work that corner, like, doing drills because, like, if I can get over here, I can get anywhere.
Yeah.
A little bit of a hill.
yeah. All right. Next question. These are from Uncle Paul, our coach. So, number one, what are some of your favorite moments and the things learned at this year's Northeast Derby Convention? So, Nora went this year.
So, I mean, there's so many things I learned. I mean, I took a ton of Scald Eagle classes. I took almost all her classes because I had taken a lot of classes with some of the other coaches that were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like her jamming style because it's a lot of power and aggression. And I think, you know, jammers need to have that nowadays with the
oh,
walls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I really liked her her movement with her foot on the line with the bowling trophy she taught us and really working on the hard edge stops on the line. She gave us some good drills for all of that. And just being able to generally come up at top speed and bust through a wall without getting a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if anyone watches her, she does it all the time. So
mm-hmm.
it was really good to kind of see and learn, understand that. And then another thing I learned, too, is a baller shot caller took her class called the Burrito.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone's ever seen her, she does this thing where she'll come up when she plays offense and she'll kind of wrap herself around her opponent and just
move
drive them to the line.
Yeah.
And that move is very effective. And I think, you know, it's really, I don't think it would be too hard to learn if people are just practice it.
Right, right, right.
So I was really, really excited to learn that. Yeah,
so, I'd say. Okay, and then he has a follow-up. Who were some of the high-level skaters who were easiest to talk to and willing to share tips and information with you? And this can be for both of you. If you've run into high-level skaters and you think they're relatable, because not all of them are, and some of them are better than others at this kind of thing, and you might have gotten them on a really happy day, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, so I'll talk about Northeast Derby Con, and I know that we've had a couple of pretty famous skaters come and teach us this year, so Chop wants to talk about that. But so, actually, Misty Maven was very easy to talk to. At Derby Con, I took one of her classes on how to think like a jammer. And she's really excited about teaching it. Mm-hmm. And she was just like talking about to all the jammers when we were doing open scrimmage. And, you know, if you just need to do this or that to make it a little cleaner, all that sort of thing. And amazingly, very approachable and just really easy to talk to. Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend taking a class from her or reaching out to her for any kind of jammer questions like that. And we've had a couple of, like I said, high-level skaters come in and train Big Easy this year. So I don't know if, Chop, you want to talk a little bit about them. I know that she had a couple people stay at her house that she really
worked with. So. I had Midge and Dirt from Mile High. They were pretty awesome. They actually stayed and I wasn't there, but then I went to Denver and played with them in a scrimmage and they were awesome. Mm-hmm. I feel like they were like my best friends.
Yeah.
And then Mercy was really good. Mm-hmm. Really loved her. And she just kind of like, I just feel like she was one of us. Like she started out and kind of talking about like, this is what we normally do at these clinics and this is kind of what I expect. But it was just like, it was like one of our trainers just came in and just kind of gave us one-on-one feedback and went from there. And I really appreciated that because at first I was like, oh my God, it's Mercy. And then after that, I was like, oh, hey, homegirl. Yeah. And like saw her at a party after that. So it was really encouraging to kind of see her at that high level, kind of just having that one-on-one conversation and just really caring about our skills and making us better skaters.
Very cool. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've run into a lot of different trainers and, you know, I've taken a lot of different classes. I really highly recommend if you get a chance to sit down with Smarty Pants, she is a font of information. She really just lets you know, and you can ask her anything. And, I mean, if she doesn't know, she'll say, I don't know about that. But she has a lot of, like, she thinks a lot about Derby. She thinks about the philosophy of Derby and what each team is trying to do and what Derby itself is trying to do. Mm-hmm. And I find that intellectually stimulating, so it made me think about Derby and what our team was trying to do. So I think she's an amazing trainer. I think Quadzilla is an amazing trainer. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have had some really good success with his classes and his moves, you know, like things I've learned from him I definitely use. I've been using since 2011, his first class. And honestly, you know, I had the first time I got to deal with a V-Diva's class. You know, she came down and taught a clinic, and I wasn't sure. Because, you know, V-Diva, she's such a personality. I wasn't sure she would be, like, a really down-to-earth person. But she's so down-to-earth, and she'll help you with anything. She's like, this is what we do. This is what Gotham is doing. This is what we're doing. This is, you know, catch up with us. You know, beat us at it. And, you know, and I thought she was doing a really great job at that. Mm-hmm. Her class was very good and very informative. And, you know, so all of those people, if you get a chance, take their classes. You know, go to a clinic. Watch them play. You know, you're going to learn a lot. You were saying that you were playing against Quadzilla. And he was...
kept catching me. I would get out, and I was like, really? And there he was. But at least I had good panty pass to baller, so there was that.
Now, you said he was doing some great offense, correct?
Oh, yeah. Like, every time we went out there, him and Tony, of course, would be together.
Right.
And every time we went out there, it was offense right up the line every single time. We adjusted, so the score did get closer.
Right.
But they were just a very hard-hitting offensive team, the other team that we played at DerbyCon. So.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. All right, next question. Would you recommend this convention, the Northeast Derby Convention, to skaters of all levels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they had... I really would, because they had something for every level. It went beginner, intermediate, advanced, and elite. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have the class descriptions. They went from very beginner basic classes, and all the top level trainers were teaching all levels. So I think it is good for beginners, and they also had intermediate. There's a lot of intermediate was the largest level there.
Mm-hmm.
But, and for sure, they had elite classes, but like I said, the largest percentage were in that intermediate area.
Well, I think it's interesting. Having been in Derby as long as I have, I feel like... So I went to RollerCon in 2011, and I'd been skating for about 2-3 years at that point. And I was just thinking to myself, had I gone to RollerCon really early in my career, I don't think I would have learned as much, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't have been able to keep it as much. Because I really don't feel like RollerCon's always... good for different levels, you know what I mean? There's a lot to take in, there's a lot to remember, and there's a lot of distraction there too. So I think that RollerCon is one of those things you have to really figure out what your priorities are before mm-hmm. you go. Some people want to just party the whole time, some people just want to skate in games the whole time, and some people want to take classes the whole time.
Yeah.
And for me, I think that would be very overwhelming to a beginning skater
mm-hmm.
because you don't know what you want.
Yeah.
You know, you don't understand, like, What do I need to work on? You know, what are some of my, you know, when you're a beginner, everything sucks or everything's awesome. You know, you're like, this is awesome. I'm on skates, right?
Yeah.
So you don't really know what your strengths and weaknesses are. I think that maybe the Northeast Derby Convention might be easier for a beginner to navigate. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Whereas I think RollerCon is such an overwhelming machine of roller derby. It's just... You know, you're going to be constantly distracted, first of all, because there's so many different, you know, famous skaters there. You're going to be like, oh my God, I just saw Bonnie Thunders. Oh my God, I'm going to die.
Sound my leg.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, and it really depends on what you're going for.
Right.
I mean, RollerCon is definitely, I think, a must for every skater before they retire.
I think so. Yeah, you should go.
It's a lot of fun.
And you'll meet people from different, and you'll see different, like we were talking about, different, like, areas of roller derby. You're going to mm-hmm. see that, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize when I first went, because our league was about probably 70% straight and 30% gay. And I went over, and it seemed like everybody at RollerCon was gay, mm-hmm. gay, and fabulously so, you know? And it was funny because I had no idea that there was a cocksuckers versus the, you know, the Vagine Regime bout.
Oh, that's a huge one.
Yeah, I had no idea, and I was laughing my butt off because I thought it was just like there's penises everywhere and vaginas everywhere. And, like, just ridiculous. The cocksuckers had these, like, penis fonts on there, and it was just like, whoa. But it was funny. But it was, I mean, the Vagine Regime was all over. They had their little flags up everywhere, and I was just like, oh, damn. You know, it's a whole different world. It was awesome.
Yeah.
All right, next question. Do you have any specific derby goals you are working towards, either with your personal skating or with your league? This is for both of y'all.
Well, I guess I'll go first. So I'm right now, I guess I would say I'm more of a utility player. I don't know if you would agree with that, Chop, or whatever. I do jam or pivot, mm-hmm. and then I do a few blocking rolls, but I'm mostly jamming or pivoting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to increase probably my endurance with jamming. I find that it's hard with these type of walls because you can't just do laps. You have to build stamina, not endurance.
Yes.
And probably just... you know, learning some of these new moves from Scald, I would like to kind of have a few other tricks up my sleeve because, you know, once you've been jamming for a while, people get you, right?
Yes.
They're like, okay, this person, she's pushy and she does this thing. And mm-hmm. then they watch you. And then if you're not developing, you're not being constantly creative as a jammer, you're not going to be effective, especially as there's more footage of you out there. You really have to develop a new style every season. Or blocking, not so much. I think blocking... it's really just learning to not be reactive so much and to just kind of be able to sit and wait for them to come to you,
mm-hmm.
which I think I'm getting better at that. Every once in a while, I feel like I still have an issue with that. But with blocking, I really like to be able to be in a strong wall and be able to work well with my teammates and stay together. Like, that's a really awesome feeling to me when our wall is just mm-hmm. tight and together and any kind of offense that's getting played on us, we form around
crushing
it.
Crushing their hope.
Yeah. We just basically, we crush their hope. That's what I said in the practice last week. I was like, take their hope away.
Exactly.
So, yes.
And so what are some of your
goals? So I've been primarily jamming this season.
Yes.
And so,
I like how you said it, like, jamming.
Because she's a good jammer and she's got a lot of endurance.
So just working on my stamina, I think it's like okay, but I think it could be better. and really not being afraid to try these things. So like there's all these things that we do like at Jammer Training with Nura, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna work on this, or oh, I'm gonna jump off this apex, I'm gonna do all these cool things, and I just like get in the habit of doing the same thing, which the same thing works, but I want to like have these tricks that I know that I can use and just like go for it. So not being getting in my head about things and just kind of like going with what my body tells me. And then also I think like building that relationship between like the blockers when they're doing offense and kind of like, oh, yeah, I see you doing this thing, I'm going to go with you. Or like kind of having this like nonverbal and we're just like going at it together. Mm-hmm. Cause I feel like with some blockers I can do that, but really having that mind meld with like most of the blockers that are in my pack will be amazing. So working on those things.
Mm. Well, you know, we were talking about, you know, it's nice to have those tricks, but Nura and I were talking about it, and I said the same phrase that evidently Scald Eagle uses, is that you need that meat and potatoes jammer.
Yeah.
That like 90% of jamming is meat and potatoes. Right. You know, it's not the fancy bull crap.
The creme de la creme.
Creme brulee of jamming, you know? And so I don't have creme brulee. I don't like dessert, so.
You are dessert, honey.
I love meat and potatoes. So I'm a meat and potatoes. When I do jam, I do a lot of pivoting. So I've been working on being able to do enough without adding creme brulee, because I'm like, can't do that. I'm too old for that. But it's really fun to be able to like give yourself goals. I try to give myself goals not for the season, but for like every couple of months, like 2 months, and then I try to check in on those goals. Like, you know, I was telling Nura, we were watching some of the footage from the Ann Arbor game, and I'm like, I'm really proud of myself because I stayed with my butt facing the jammer on the jammer most of the time instead of turning around and facing backwards, which is something that I tend to default to because I skate backwards well and I tend to hold the wall. You know, I'm usually the brace for the wall, and I've been working on just, hey, I'm gonna put my butt on her and keep her. And I was really proud of myself because that was a tough game for us. And so, you know, it's like, oh, you have to really work and work and work and work. And then you see, like, good results. Mm-hmm. It's like, yay!
Yeah.
And then I get a little nervous that I hope I don't lose those good results. Like, I don't get distracted by something else. And I'll,
Squirrel!
Whoops! Yeah. How am I backwards again? For 90% of the game. This sucks. So, yeah, I think, it. You know, you have to reward yourself for hitting those goals.
Yeah.
You have to, because... First of all, no one else may notice.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, like, this is busy. Everybody's trying to do everything. You know, you're juggling a million things. But you have to reward yourself, because if you don't, no one may. And then you get discouraged. So you give yourself that little pat on the back. You know, like, hey, I kept my promise to myself, you know. I did good.
Yeah.
You know? And I see positivity and good results in what I'm doing. And, you know, some games you're going to have the shittiest game you've ever played in your life, and nothing went well, and your skate broke, and you ran into a ref, and they kicked you out of the game, and you're just like, I fucking hate this sport. Why do I stay? You know, and you got to say, hey, because I do good things, and I, you know, get better at them. So. Yeah. All right. Good. Next question. Okay, I'm after referee opinions here. I will tell you this. I picked this question because I am a lane one player. I love the inside line. So here, my position of choice is lane one. I like looking after the inside line. I'm good at it. Good for you, because we need more inside line, folks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard position. You have to be patient.
Very hard. Watch that line.
Yeah, right, all of a sudden someone's like, squirrel, boom, gone. During a recent game, I was handed several failure to reform penalties. When I spoke to my bench about it, as I was with my wall on each of these occasions, so we were all to blame in theory, she said that refs tend to give the penalty to the player they see first, which can generally mean the closest, a.k.a. me, bumming out about the inside line. I wonder what refs had to say, and wondered if they thought that was a fair assumption. Personally, it made me feel a bit sad, as I've worked hard and found a position I love and am good at, but now I have to worry about getting penalties just because I'm the first one the ref sees. And yes, you are the first one the ref sees. So guess what? You have to bridge. That's your job. So now your job just got a little harder. You have to be more aware. And it sucks. And I am an inside line player, and sometimes I feel like I get nailed with penalties more because I'm right there in front of the head pack ref, or the back end pack ref, and they're looking right at me because I'm bookmarking either the front or the back of the pack, and I'm right there, I'm like right next to them, like, hey, what's up, you know, and they're like, no pack, you know, and you get a penalty. Does that mean that no other position gets penalties like that? No, I mean, they all get penalties, right? And they're supposed to give it to the person that doesn't, that, you know, we're all supposed to reform, right? We're all supposed to make the effort to reform. That's part of the rules. If we're in the front of the pack, you've got to stop skating. If you're in the back, you have to sprint forward. You can't lollygag. Like, you used to be able to lollygag. You used to be able to go, I'm trying to reform.
Just like that.
It's just so far away, right? So, I can't move my feet. Because you wanted your jammer to get out. Yeah. It's like being an asshole about it. But, yeah, so you know, the front of the pack has to stop. The back of the pack has to sprint to reform. And if you're not doing that as a group... Mm-hmm. And they see the one person that is a little slower to do what either one of those things, they're going to give it. They're supposed to give that penalty to that person. But they're only probably going to give one for either to the front and the back because they're busy. Mm-hmm. They've got other things to worry about after that. Yeah. So they're probably just going to give one. So if you are the closest, you might get it. So be more aware of your pack surrounding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was one of those things like, you know, we were talking about your goals that you work for. I try to not get these penalties. That was one of my goals last year, was to remove the penalties that are stupid.
Yeah.
So, from my penalties. So, like, out of play, you know, destruction of pack, failure to reform. All of those are, like, technical penalties. Mm-hmm. And they don't really have anything to do with safety of the game. They don't have to do with gameplay. They have to do with not paying attention to the refs. And so, I was like, I don't want to get any more of these, so I try not to. Like, I may get one every couple of games, but it's because I wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. I was not paying attention, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of those things. You should maybe make that a goal. Like, hey, I'm not going to get this penalty mm-hmm. again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever get one of those technical penalties? You're just like, God, I hate this penalty. Go to hell, penalty.
We've been getting, like, I've gotten late, like, the last, some of them I don't know. Like, the last one I got a high block on, which... you know, I didn't know how I got it because I was actually hit in the throat.
Yeah, right.
And so some of those, though, it's like you don't know what the ref's looking at. And you just kind of have to go with it.
Yeah.
And of course, those are as a jammer. And then, I've gotten a form, and sometimes those are questionable because forms, you really have to go by, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but it shouldn't be this way. But it depends also on the ref crew because some of them call it like crazy and some of them call it rarely, so
and sometimes they see a big hit. I think refs see a big hit, and they're just immediately they think something snarky happened to make that hit big. And I've seen people get called on forearms, and their forearms are like they're driving the car, like I like to do, and they just use their hips and they get a forearm call. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And it gets really frustrating. It's sort of like the multiplayer block call that the phantom multiplayer block as a blocker you get. You literally don't have your arms involved with anything. They're out front. And someone has gotten a multiplayer block called on them. It's usually you. The thing is, you don't know when that call, like, they saw it.
Yeah.
And they may have been, like, a couple seconds late getting it out. And so that's a frustration I think blockers go through. And same with jammers, because jammers are like, what the hell, man? I'm pushing through this multiplayer block, and you haven't made the call yet. They're probably like, trying to figure out whose arms belong to whom.
Yeah.
You know? That's got to be crazy for a ref. Like, there's just tangles of arms out there, and there's no, like... You know, there's a number on some of them, but, like, over here, this part with your forearm, you have no idea where that... I look at photos sometimes, and I'm like, whose arm is that? You know? Is that my arm? Is that the jammer's arm? Is that my teammate's arm? I have no idea. It's like, who belongs to what?
Yeah.
So I think refs are doing the best they can. I think refs, to help refs out, I think refs should be really good at skating so they don't have to worry about skating and just looking at the game. I think refs should watch as much footage as possible of other refs, of high-level refs, and see what they're calling. And talk to refs, you know?
Yeah, one thing I was going to say is, like, maybe during scrimmage, kind of be aware of that and being in that spot and working on that, because I would rather rack up those penalties, like, in scrimmage and, like, know exactly when to do it. So then when it comes to the game, it's like, oh, I already know this. I kind of know I've worked on this in scrimmage. And like you said, like, talking to the refs, like, hey, I know I got this. Can you tell me, like, at what angle or whatever? But I think really being aware and working on that during scrimmage could really cut out a lot of that.
Well, and you also, some ref crews are going to call things a lot stricter than other ref crews. There's some ref crews out there, they're like, let's just let them play the game, you know, and, you know, we're not going to be Nazis about 9 feet, you know, or 11 feet, you know, or whatever. And there's some ref crews that are like, that is 8.5 feet! I'm watching them now, you know. So you have to really, you've got to know your ref crew, mm-hmm. you know, and you're probably going to figure that out within the first three or four jams, yep. what this ref crew likes to yep. call. Some ref crews have favored calls. I mean, they just do. Mm-hmm. And I know that they're like, no, we don't. I'm like, but it's a gelling of all the people on the ref crew. So when you get the stats back, you can see it. You're like, mm-hmm. oh, hey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these same calls, and that's what I was seeing during the game. So, I mean, it just happens.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're not mad at you, Russ. We're just yeah. trying to figure you out. We love you. We're just trying to figure you out so we don't, you know, we know what we can play with.
Yeah.
We know what we can, like, stretch a little bit. All right. Who is going to RollerCon? Any advice for a first-timer?
Chop is going, but I need advice.
Is that your question, Chop? Yeah, so I went 4 years in a row. When I lived in California, it was super easy because I could just drive there.
Right, right.
And now it's more of an effort because I have to fly. So you really, I think kind of like what you were saying, Q, you really have to figure out what is your goal when you're going there. Like, if you really want to have fun and party and see Vegas, then maybe don't expect to skate so much or don't, you know, focus on skating as much. If you really want to skate and be in all the bouts and watch all the high-level bouts, well, you're probably not going to be able to go hang out in Vegas all that much. Mm-hmm. Or you're probably not going to be able to party as much because a lot of these bouts start real early in the morning or they go late at night. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some parties you might miss. So I think it's really about what you're looking to do. Every time I went, I was really mostly about the skating, and I would skate until my legs pretty much fell off. And it's too. And so when I came home, it was almost like recovering from a marathon. It would take me like a full week or so to mm-hmm. recover from it. And I'm not much of a partier, so but definitely if you want to party all night, you can do that there for sure.
Well, yeah, so. I think if you're going to go and you just want to hang out in Vegas, just take a different trip and go to Vegas because yeah. then you won't have all your crap to carry around with
right.
you. It's hot. You don't want to be dragging that shit everywhere. Just go see Vegas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's better times to go. Mm-hmm. If you just want to go and hang out in Vegas or see it and see the nightlife and all that, there are better times of the season to go than July. All right?
Yeah.
It is hot. No doubt.
And so I haven't, you know, I wasn't there last year, but, you know, I think every year they're trying to get better with the class wait times.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I know when I was there, it was like you had to line up 2 hours ahead of time to get the class pass, and then you had to be there a certain amount of time before the class. So mm-hmm. the classes can take quite a bit of your day. Mm-hmm. So if you're going there to just take classes, just realize that's going to take most of your day. If you're trying to plan other stuff besides classes, it's going to be difficult. And I just say that from my experience. Like I heard last year, it's actually every year they're getting better and they're working mm-hmm. hard on it. So it's probably even better now than it was. So, and every year they're getting better at that. But for me, it was really about the challenge bouts and watching the high-level skating. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the best advice I can give.
The best advice I can give is find someone that's going to be there to cook. Like in the
there
hotel
you go.
Rooms because
bring your Foreman.
Yeah,
for
Foreman
sure.
grill. You brought your Foreman grill for the Derby convention just this weekend. But I think like when we went, Rigger from Blue Ridge brought a rice cooker and a grill kind of thing, and she was selling. She was like, hey, you want to have oatmeal? Like amazing oatmeal in the morning, like, you know, like refined and like, you know, steel cut and with chocolate and all this other stuff, and she's like $1. And like we're like, hell yeah, dollar, going down and get some eggs and some oatmeal, mm-hmm. you know? And it was cheaper that way. And she just basically packed food.
Yeah.
She packed like enough scrimmage stuff and her gear and food and the rice cooker. And I would not plan on eating at the restaurants as much as you possibly can avoid doing it. Because it's expensive, it's not great food for you, you know, and you're gonna be really wearing your body out. You're gonna be taking your body out there and just like wearing it out. Especially if you're skating and in the classes, you're on your feet a lot. You may not be moving a lot, so all those muscles that normally move when you skate are gonna be like gripping your skates. Your feet are gonna feel really fatigued. You know, you're gonna want to skate in the scrimmages or in some of the games, or you're gonna watch. It's a long, hard week.
It really is.
It is. It's a hard week.
And the air
drink
there.
All the water you can.
Yeah, the air there is really dry. It's like you're not, if you think, you're not really going to be out there during the day walking around Vegas. It's just way too hot. And then if you are, you definitely need sunscreen. And Recommend bring Visine because it's so dry, your eyes will dry out.
Yeah, I was constantly filling up. I had a huge jug of water because a friend of mine lives out there, so he drove us to the grocery store when we got out there, and we just bought gallons and gallons of water and just carried gallons of water with us and filled them up downstairs. We were I drank so much water. And then the black and blue ball, which is at, I don't know, when I was there in 2011, it was outside.
Yeah.
And it was at midnight.
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be nice or at least cooler. Mm-hmm. Nope. No. I lasted 10 minutes in my costume and I went upstairs and changed, got in my swimsuit and swam the rest of the time. I was in the pool the rest of the time. I was like in derby soup and I didn't care because it was so hot. I was like, and it was a storm. I didn't care. It was so hot. I was like, oh my God, I can't stand it. You'd get out of the pool and you'd immediately dry off. Like, it would just... Wow. It was so dry. Yeah. I mean, it's a great experience. You should do it. But just be prepared. Yeah. It's hard. You're going to need some recovery time afterwards. Yes. It is going to take... And your brain's going to be like, oh my God, I learned so much stuff. Or I didn't learn... Or I had so much fun or whatever. It's but it's a good place to go and it's a lot of fun. And
be realistic about your skill level.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It might be good to even... watch a few or skate in a skill level that you think is lower than what you're used to because, you know, there's a lot of top level skaters there and, you know, you might think you're advanced or whatever and you get there and then you realize, oh, Bonnie Thunders is on my advanced team. And it's all people like her and, you know, Tony Muse and Quadzilla and all the Angel City.
Yeah.
So it's like, just be... realistic about your skill level, you know, really, and just be careful and be safe.
Yeah, so. And I think that's the big thing. That probably causes the most misunderstandings at RollerCon is the idea of skill level because you self-identify.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to be really, really realistic. I mean, when they say elite or advanced, they are talking about Bonnie Thunders. They are talking about Demanda Riot. They're talking about the highest level skaters in the country, in the world. Mm-hmm. They're expecting you to be able to keep up with them. And if you're not, that's okay. Don't go in that class or watch that class or watch that game. But, you know, if you sign up, you better bring it. You know, if you're, you know, intermediate, you know, you might be an all-star in your league, but you're not probably going to be Bonnie Thunders all-star, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's amazing. You know, watch her. Talk to them, you know? The other thing I think at RollerCon you should do is if you never get a chance to really talk to vendors, you should talk to them, especially about your skates, because they can measure you for things. They can tell you, hey, this is our newest product. This is what we put... This is why we have changed this thing. You know, I would go and talk to the skate vendors because this is where you can try on skates. You know, we're on the internet. We never can try on skates. And I think that is the biggest problem. Most new skaters in the 1 to 2 year range have the worst skates because they've never tried them on. They don't know any better. They're either too big, too small. The plate's too big, too small. It's not mounted correctly. You know, really take your skates and talk to these people because that's what they're there. They're there to inform you because they want you to buy their gear. And I would seriously just sit down and talk to everybody and see what they want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who's talking to me and giving me the straight dope, you know.
Right.
And I think, you know, every time I've gone and talked, like, I love Rydell. I'm a Rydell girl, and I will always probably wear Rydell boots. But every time I've gone, they've been nothing but nice, you know, and kind and considerate. So... if a vendor is not kind and considerate and it's their company, don't buy from them. You know? It's easy. Yeah. It's an easy thing. Yeah. You can see if they don't treat you nicely, don't talk to them. You know? That's their problem. All right. Well, you've wasted another hour with Q's tip and electrocution. houseofskate.net is having a sale. We're going to do 10% off. And if you use the code ELECTRA, that's ELEKTRA. I don't get any kickbacks from that. I get gear at a discounted myself. And I think that it'll be really fun if you do it. We're trying to do a contest, like who gets the most people hitting them up with their codes. So buy some stuff and get a code because I want bragging rights over, you know, people like 40 ounce. All right. And Christy Creamer and Man Candy from Kinston's Roller Derby League, the Ring City Roller Girls, Ring City, will be hosting their fourth annual Masquerade Brawl Invitational on October 29th at Galaxy of Sports. This year's Masquerade Brawl will be a Game of Thrones theme, and will feature mini bouts for rookie, intermediate, and experienced skaters. Open to men and women. Check out Ring City Roller Girls Facebook page for event details, or just give them a like. Ring City practices at Galaxy of Sports in Kinston Monday and Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8:30. Contact them for open practices if you'd like to join in on the fun. Ring City Roller Girls, bringing roller derby to Eastern North Carolina since 2006. They're a good group, and you used to coach them, right? So
yeah, I used to skate and coach with them.
It's a lot of fun, right?
It is, yeah.
I've gone to the Valentine's Day Massacre that they have. It was really fun.
Yeah, I was there the first year they did that, and it was definitely, like, everybody came from all the different leagues, and we had a great time together.
Yeah, it was really nice because East Coast in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia area, we don't get a ton of, like, mixing, so it was really nice to see everybody from different leagues there. We had people there from the Regulators, people there from the Wrecking Balls, Collision, you know, Carolina Roller Girls, you know, Cape Fear Girls. It was just fun. It was a lot of fun. So maybe y'all can make it out. It'd be fun.
I may think about it, especially since Game of Thrones.
Right? Game of Thrones. Yes. Somebody's got to have a hold the door.
Yes.
Hold the door.
Hold the door. All right. So what are you guys' plans for the next couple of months? I know that you're going to RollerCon. What else is going
on? So I just want to pump up. Like, I'm super, super excited. July 23rd, we're having a tournament.
Sweat Fest.
Yes, because it's in New Orleans in July. But, I mean, it's so exciting. We've done this the past couple of years. We've had some pretty big teams come up, and now we have this year Rose City, Texas, and Atlanta coming to play each other.
Sweat Fest.
And it's super exciting. And then we're getting to play the Firing Squad, Texas Firing Squad, and the Atlanta Rumblebees. So we're super, super pumped for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're traveling to Dallas to take on Assassination City. And then our last game of the season is against the guys.
Yeah.
The Brass, New Orleans Brass. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I want to shout out to them because they just got their murder status.
So I think you wanted the challenge Collision to come
down. Yes.
Yes.
Collision.
They're calling you out.
Yes.
So y'all need to go down to New Orleans.
Yes. Come on down.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for being on the show. Really appreciate it. And thank you for
listening.
Thank you for listening. And tune in next week. Well, who knows what will happen. Bye-bye.